Our Bible reading is taken from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. John 20, verses 1 to 18, the empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strip of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Verses 11, it says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and said, and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means 'teacher.' Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brother and tell them, I have ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went to the disciple with the news, 'I have seen the Lord,' and she told them that he had said these things to her." Thank you.
Wanted everyone to have an opportunity to stand up and move about a bit, so glad we had that opportunity. You see, there's a lot of moving about goes on Resurrection Sunday. Did you notice that as we read through John's Gospel at the beginning? There's an awful lot of running about. You may not have seen, but in the London theatre tradition, there was the tradition of the Whitehall Farce. Anyone have know what I'm talking about? And there were these kind of plays, sometimes a bit bawdy, but they often involved people running on and off stage, and you know, humorous things built around the fact that who was on the stage and who was off the stage, and invariably it resulted in a vicar having his trousers fall down as well. That's not going to happen this morning. We hope. But just look at this, at what's going on in John 20 in these resurrection stories. And firstly, let's say thank God for the women. Were it not for the women, we wouldn't know much about the risen Lord Jesus at all. The men are nowhere to be seen. They appear, they do a lot of running about, scratch their heads in confusion and wander off again. Some of you are thinking this is your everyday reality. The women are faithful. They're there at the foot of the cross. They're there in the garden early on. They're ministering to Jesus as best they can, dealing with the reality of anointing what they believe to be a dead body. And they've not been able to because of Sabbath and Passover Sabbath as being a particularly special one. So that's why they're going to the tomb to do that on that first Easter Sunday morning. And then there's a lot of running about. A lot of it seems to be fairly aimless. So going back through John 20, Mary goes to the tomb, sees a stone has been removed. So she goes running off to Simon Peter and the other disciple, that's John. And she says that they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they put him. And so Peter and John, they're running back and they're outrunning each other. And then they both stop, but it says that Peter, the other disciple outran Peter, reached the tomb first, but then Peter, even though he was a slower runner, he goes in the tomb first of all. He sees the strips of linen cloth lying there. And then John finally catches up and also goes inside. And yet they still didn't understand what had happened. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, bent over to look into the tomb, saw the two angels. Has what seems to be a very ordinary conversation with angels. I don't know, actually, I'd need to research this. I'm prepared to be wrong, but I'm wondering if she isn't the first person recorded in Scripture to encounter an angel and not have to be told not to be afraid. Why are you crying? They've taken my Lord away. Very matter of fact, isn't it? And then she sees Jesus thinking he's the gardener, and then has that moment of realizing what's happened and who he is. And then Jesus says to her, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." It's a detailed account, isn't it? And when you look at all the gospel accounts of the resurrection, they've all got these little details in, which for me at least give me a sense of their authenticity. There are eyewitness accounts going on here. And all this running about of disciples who are mostly bewildered and confused. I'm glad the Gospels are full of bewildered and confused disciples, because I'm one. It's hard for us to make sense of this, isn't it? This is not what happens. You don't go to tombs and find them empty. You don't go to tombs blocked up with huge, great big stones and find those stones rolled away. You don't go into tombs and find that the grave clothes are not just empty, but have been folded up. Neatly ironed, pressed, put back. And here are these disciples, not knowing what's happened. John tells us, verse 6, that Peter went into the tomb, saw the strips of cloth lying there. In verse 8, we're told the other disciple also went inside, and he saw and believed. One word, saw, in the English language. Two completely different words in the Greek. The word used in verse 6 in the Greek language means to see as in to notice. So Peter went in and noticed that it was empty, as you do. Oh, no one there. There's no sense of the insight. Verse 8, the word saw is more about seeing and believing, seeing deeper than what appears to be on the surface, seeing something else, seeing and understanding. It's one of those words that's very hard to translate, so that's why they've stuck with saw. And then even so, we're told, despite that insight, they still don't understand that Jesus had to rise from the dead. They still didn't understand. And then what we're told, verse 10, they went back to where they were staying. And Mary stayed at the tomb. Mary stayed where Jesus would meet her. Do you ever wonder what would happen if the other disciples had stayed? But they went home. They went home wondering. Mary stayed. Because Mary stayed, she encountered the risen Lord Jesus. Yes, she didn't recognize him at first, but when she did, she realized something special had happened, and she was sent to go and tell all the others. Mary stays at the tomb and meets Jesus. The Christian church is not without its cliches. One of those cliches, and I even said it to one of you this week, It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Ever heard that? It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Actually, guess what? It's been Friday and Sunday's arrived. But here's the other side of that. You and I know there are people stuck on Friday. There are people for whom Sunday never comes. How do we then faithfully tell this story? How do we get this across? It's all very well for us. Yeah, we can say, yeah, it's been a good Friday and terrible things have happened, but Sunday's come and Jesus is alive. But there are people for whom Sunday seemingly never comes. And you know them and I know them. The people who are locked in despair, the people who cannot see any sense of hope. We gather today and we celebrate resurrection hope, and it's great and it's fantastic. And even though we've lost our friend Russell, we know he's celebrating resurrection life today. His resurrection adventure continues as a family of God. We can celebrate that. His family are not bereft of hope because they believe and they know that Jesus is alive and he's taken their father home. But there are people, and some of them may be in here, for whom Sunday never comes. How do we tell the story? How do we live the story? Mary may give us some help with that. You see, Mary stays where she will meet Jesus. She hangs around long enough to meet Jesus. Jesus tells her, don't hang on to me. I've not yet ascended. And there's a lot of mystery about John's understanding of the ascension, and we'll leave that for Ascension Sunday. But Jesus says to her, don't hang on to me, but go and tell. Here's the thing about resurrection. It means that Jesus isn't going to let go of you. You can let go of Jesus because he's not letting go of you. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we don't cling to him in all things. Yes, of course we do. But here in this meaning, don't cling on to me. Don't keep this moment for yourself. Go and tell somebody. Go and share this story with somebody. Jesus is saying to Mary, you've waited. You've met me. Now don't keep it for yourself. Go and tell someone. Because there are people for whom Sunday doesn't come unless you and I go out and live that story. Because resurrection changes everything. And too many of us are going around believing and doing our Christian life as if that wasn't true. If it's really true, then it must change everything, surely. Jesus is alive. That's not just a kind of internal heart thing. Yeah, he lives in my heart, of course. We're talking about something physical and tangible and something that changes world history. And there are people for whom Sunday never comes unless you and I go out and tell them. Unless you and I go out and say, you know what, if you hang around here for long enough, you'll meet Jesus. That's what the church is for. Not gathering people inside, but going out there and living it. If we really believe this story, why would we keep it to ourselves? Jesus says, don't hold on to me. I've not yet risen. I've not yet ascended. Don't hold on to me. I've not yet ascended. Don't hold on to me. The story's not complete until you've gone and told someone. Well, it's very simple, friends. If we are the people of the risen Lord Jesus this morning, and if we declare new life in his name, and if we're saying, yeah, the new creation's come into being because Jesus is alive, and you and I can live in that new creation, and we can live in the light of a kingdom that's coming, that justice and righteousness and beauty and purity and all those things that we long for are now available to us, then don't hold on to it. Give it away. So here's the thing. Our gathered worship is almost at an end. Our Easter egg hunt will happen. Then take the resurrection story with you. Don't hold on to it. Go find someone for whom Sunday's not yet come. And invite them to hang around with you long enough in their Friday suffering and their Saturday bewilderment that they meet the risen Lord Jesus and that their Sunday also comes. Let's do that faithfully, not just this Easter Sunday, but every Sunday, every day. And let's have an Easter Sunday next year where this place ain't big enough. Don't hang on to it. Give it away.